Have any of you been to Italy? Yeah? Have any of you wanted to go to Italy? Do any of you eat Italian food? Okay, so let's be Italian. Memento mori. Say it with me as if the name is the name of the most delicious gelato in Ben & Jerry's. Memento mori. The sweetest and creamiest gelato. Memento mori. Oh, better. You can do better. Memento mori. Ah, yeah. The really good gelato. Memento mori is a Latin phrase that means be mindful of dying. Often in our modern lives, memento mori come as experiences that cause us to be mindful of our mortality. In everyday language, one might say that a memento mori is a wake-up call, a call to action to live more fully and mindfully, that one might die more fully and mindfully. Remember the moment of death in order to remember the moment of dying. Sorry. Remember the moment of death in order to remember the moment of life. Remember to remember to remember. That's what I want you to remember at the end of today's service. I dedicate these words this morning to my older sister, Julia Ann Thompson, who many of you here knew and loved. Julia died with no warning in a car crash 3 years ago. And to my mother, who died at age 90 in bed at the end of a good full life a little over a year ago. And for all the other deaths, known and unknown, of humans and living beings who have supported and shaped our lives. And for those of us who remain, who have yet to meet our deaths. Shortly after my sister's death in the fall of 2004, I received some life-saving advice from a member of the Lake County Unitarian Fellowship in Northern California, where I then lived. Clovis Lewis, I am convinced, was sent by God to find me that day in our local farmer's market as I struggled to make some choices. Clovis's advice to me was to go home and be with my family during this time of crisis. Everyone deserves to know the truth about their lives, he told me. I took his advice, and out of the truth I found, I wrote my first book, Sightlines, A Poet's Diary. My father's poem, Blood on the Highway, opens Sightlines. His poem shows the parallels between the lives and deaths of his mother, Anna Reel, and his oldest child, Julia. He ends by saying, I know they both were ready when God called them home. It is with this thought that I dedicate this morning's service. May we be ready at the moment of our death. May each of us take impermanence to heart and be freed from grasping. Sometimes our memento mori come to us in a quiet moment at home, almost casually, as in the poem Quail Visitation. A bird flies into glass under the illusion that it's simply continuing to fly through the sky. Daniel cleaned twin windows facing the mountain, cleared away grime 2 years in the making. I cooked supper while he looked out. What a shame when birds slam into glass, he mused. Then suddenly one did. A big sound, then down. Tiger prowled the deck to claim his surprise supper, then jumped up on the screen to announce the meal. We scrambled outside, the oval body more than stunned, dead. Neck broken on glass, masquerading as air. Quail, we'd never seen one fly so high, never seen one so close, never held one in my hands. Hunters must all the time. Top knot dangling, eyes closed, heart stopped. So many shades, soft gray and brown, scalloped with black, still feet and pointed toes. Do you want me to bury it? No, I'll lay it at the top of the land, at the edge of the woods where the mountain lion roam at night. Sing a prayer for its soul to soar higher than houses with solid air, to soar into another life quicker than coveys scurry through dry grasses in the moonlight. The cat pacing the deck, excited by its whiff of wildness. I led him outside in the opposite direction. If he hunts for it, all right, but the quail deserves a head start. Sometimes our memento mori come closer to home as we watch a beloved parent age, as King Sake reveals. This poem was written 2 years ago for my father when he was only 89. The old king is dying and he knows it. The old ways are dying and he knows it. The old music is dying even as he plays it. He tries to keep it all alive, but no one is fooling anyone, least of all him. So much to do, so little time. There's only one of him to go around. Mom, the place, the new novel, the old heritage for the archives. You'll live to be at least 99, another 10 years yet.
I might have said that 3 years ago, but the last two have been mighty hard ones.
His body is falling apart slowly. Every time he gets a new ailment, the doctor says, "Well, Mr. Thompson, you will die with it, not of it." The only thing he'll die of is old age, or maybe old age and a broken heart that keeps on breaking. The old king is dying. Long live the king. The consolation prize in my father's story is the gift of seeing the life cycle continue in the generations coming up. Shortly after his wife's death on May 1st, 2006, his latest great-grandson was born. Of course, photos flew all over the internet, just as they did when we viewed an earlier image of my father with another great-grandchild. Heartbeat. Pixels of sly, smiling pleasure, Nua's great-grandchild lifted to a nearly deaf ear. Yes, there's the heartbeat that promises his line will continue when his own heart rolls over and moves on. In some cultures, aging and death are interwoven into daily life. When I lived in Ghana, I rode on mammy wagons emblazoned with slogans reminding me of death and providence. Who knows but God? In our culture, there are so many hidey holes, cozy places we waited out, safe places that become dangerous if we stay too long and lose our sense and sanity. My sister Julia's sudden death was a profound memento mori for our entire family. Her death drug us out of every cozy and safe hidey hole and every cave we'd ever hibernated in. Just Like You and Me is my compressed telling of Julia's very full life and very dramatic end of that life and what happened immediately after her death. This last section is the first of three poems I'll read, riffing on rainbows. It had been hot and started to rain. A scout went to the sidelong and saw it, a rainbow. Not just one rainbow, but two. one inside the other, a stairway to heaven. The scout came inside and called us. Amelia and the rest of us bolted outside. Look, it's Grammy Julia going up to heaven. The colors vivid, appearing yet insubstantial. Roy G. Biv. Knock your retina out red. Offshore orange. Van Gogh's sunflower yellow. Green green fields forever. Blue sky mind. Indigo bunting. African violet. Tibetan Buddhists say rainbows are signs of realization. Did all my sister's good works take her up over the top? Julia, were you a secret yogini? Amelia thought so. She stood there channeling rainbow wisdom. You see, when a good person dies, they send a rainbow down to fetch that person up to heaven. I ran into the house afterwards to write it all down. Goodness, the girl was touched by an angel. I sent her little rainbow glazed teacups later to mark this wisdom moment just after her 8th birthday. They're too nice to use. We just look at them at the top shelf of her china closet. I can picture you as an angel, Julia, watching over us all, as Gary says. You deserve the best you can get, what with all the good you did. I see you up there in heaven directing traffic. Oops, careful there. That's one dangerous intersection, folks. I bet she bakes pies for the man up in the sky himself, darns the elbows of the choir robes, sends down solutions for physics equations in secret code. Yep, girl, you're my favorite angel. And you know what? You still dazzle me after all these years. Three other family members rode in the car in which my sister Julia suddenly met her death. Fortunately, the two people who were severely injured, my mother and Julia's husband Dave, pulled through, and the fourth one, Julia and Dave's young grandson, was pulled out of the car by a Good Samaritan before the car burst into flames. But when an accident of this type occurs, metaphorically, everyone in the family is in the car. One of these family members was Julia's granddaughter, Amelia Grace McCarthy, my great niece. You all have come to know Amelia, and here is her double rainbow wisdom I rushed inside to write down. Like a bridge up to heaven, perhaps. The sunset is like that, too. Angels climb onto the sunset, trees, and skies. These are the gates of heaven. A week after a good person dies, then a rainbow happens. The rest rise up on a sunset. The special angels, like Grammy Julia, go up to heaven on a rainbow. It's a bridge, an archway to heaven. The best people earn an express trip to heaven. The rainbow takes you quickly and gloriously up to heaven, especially if it's a double rainbow. When I was small, when I was 4, Daddy said, "Stop the car, see? We look smack together on a double rainbow. You're more likely to see all the colors then." It's a glorious sight to see a double rainbow pouring full strength in the country. Looking at the glory of it, heaven is a place where each angel finds the place where they used to be. It makes me sad, but it helps in the long term. The more I talk about her, I'm crying less. It might have seemed long to see the rainbow, but only a few minutes had passed. After the rain and talking up here, everything seems cleaner, fresher, prettier. From this height, especially on this porch. Did you know it is really a third story if you count the basement? We danced to the music of Rush for Gold, I think Grammy Julia would have liked it. And in case you miss them, the words are, they say there are treasures of silver and gold buried down by the Rainbow's Inn. The treasures I find are real peace of mind when you come to the Rainbow's Inn. Thanks, Bob. My last rainbow poem is Ashes Wash Clean, written for my godchildren Thomas Alvarado and Andrea Abel when their mother Teresa Abel died. I took them on two trips to the ocean. The second trip was to scatter some portion of Teresa's ashes on the Mendocino coast, one of her favorite spots on Earth. Still in a tin can, wrapped in a gift paper, her ashes settled, collecting no dust. The ribbon and paper slipped off easily. We opened the lid to see the labeled plastic bag split at the bottom. Ashes sifting onto the newspaper, shielding the kitchen table. Do you want a spoon? I spooned a tiny bit of that which had been her into white envelopes lodged inside a black lacquer box. The tin, rewrapped, went back to its place on the mantel. The traveling ashes rode with us along the Northern California coast. With us, they saw the sea lions on the rocks at dusk off Point Arena, lighthouse. With us, they witnessed the rainbow that danced on forever, now close at hand, now far away. Andrea asked, "Do you think we could find the pot of gold this time?" And Thomas called out, "Look, it's right there." And it was until we got there. Luminous and vibrant, both there and not there. The next morning, the waves were high, whipped by the wind. We fed the sea spirits strawberry frosted cake and apples, found out our own tidal pool where we gathered clamshells. Scrambling up rocks, holding onto each other lest we slip into the sea, we cast in the clamshells, a memory at a time. We fingered her silky ashes, surprised by bone fragments. Then each offered a pinch of ashes to the frothing sea, like salt into rising bread dough. On a coast their mother loved, we gave her ashes to the sea. Our first time there and her last. Like the rainbow, she was both there and not there. In life, she had traveled through rugged waters. But now she had gone beyond, leaving memories, ashes, and a love washed clean in waves thundering offshore. Remember the moment of death to remember the moment of life. Let us remember to remember to remember.